Hi, this is Don Fleckinger, executive editor of SearchCRM.com.
And this is Jesse Scardina, news writer for SearchCRM.com. Don, it's good to be back in the recording studio with you.
Yeah. It just seems like last week we were doing a pipeline podcast, but here we are again because that must mean it is conference season.
I was going to say it's the most wonderful time of the year, for us at least. It's nonstop travel, nonstop coverage, a bunch of new news coming out from so many different vendors. I mean, we have colleagues this week who are at Oracle Open World, which I believe is in San Francisco. We just had a conference each, and we have several more on the docket for the next month or so. So it's, like we said, busy time of year.
Yeah. So last week you were in Orlando, Florida, and you were attending the Microsoft Ignite and Envision conferences. I guess this is the first time they've combined both events into one. Sort of, what's the flavor of
yes.
the two halves?
They announced that early this year that the two conferences that were once at separate times of the year were being combined. Their rationale, Microsoft's rationale, was that in today's tech digital landscape, that the business executives processes and the IT developer processes have been brought closer together, so it makes more sense to have the conference at the same time. Some attendees were able to take advantage of that and kind of go back and forth between the sessions. Thankfully for us, we had the press credentials that gave us access to whichever sessions we wanted to attend. But like I said, the Envision One sessions definitely pertain more to C-level executives, kind of overarching best practices on how to run your company, your department, whereas Ignite focused more on the actual technology, the developers, the IT aspect of Microsoft products. And that's where I spent most of my time, was at Ignite sessions, looking at Dynamics 365 CRM news, news on Teams, some minor AI upgrades to products. But yeah, there was definitely a lot coming out of the week-long conference in Orlando.
So what were the main themes from Ignite and Envision? What kind of technologies were they talking about? What kind of subject matter was focused on?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk on not really a new new tool or new product, but I guess, and Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, didn't really want to call it a bundling, but basically a bundling of Microsoft products called Microsoft 365, which they emphasizes for the frontline worker, the customer service rep, the sales rep, the people who first interact with the customers, are the first ones that usually hear back about product reviews or testimonials, or really kind of deal with the customer one-on-one. And Microsoft really just released, like I said, new bundlings of Office, Azure cloud capabilities, and security capabilities to better enrich the frontline worker, to kind of get the organizational processes and everyone kind of on the same line of thinking. Other than that, there was a lot of news coming out of Dynamics 365 around some AI functionality that will be embedded into it. Microsoft's graph data is being combined with LinkedIn's graph data to provide a really holistic look at prospects or potential leads for users of Dynamics 365. But I think the most interesting thing coming out of it was the news of Microsoft Teams, which is Microsoft's Slack competitor, to put it bluntly. They recognize that, Slack recognizes that, and Microsoft's really putting a lot of backing behind this product with the announcement that they will be Microsoft Teams will be basically taking over for Skype for Business, which will be sort of bled out, I guess you could say. But those were kind of the main product topics that that were discussed at Ignite.
Yeah, and like me, you love to jaw with attendees and find out what's on their mind to sort of get the pulse of what the actual news is. What were the attendees talking about?
Yeah, a couple I talked to at lunch were cautiously optimistic, I could say, about Microsoft Teams. They were worried one man who runs his IT department for a manufacturing company was concerned because he just got everyone to adopt Skype for Business. And of course, the biggest obstacle for tech or new tech adoption is the workforce just not wanting to adopt something new. Change is difficult, and with change comes training and a lot of work for your employees and for you in the IT department. So there was concern about the adoption and switching over to Microsoft Teams, but he saw the capabilities that it has that Skype for Business doesn't. Some other things that attendees were talking about, I kind of cherry-picked when I could and was looking for a lot of Dynamics 365 talk. People are still very pleased with the alignment with Dynamics 365, with Microsoft's other products. And with Dynamics, they're introducing some AI functionality, an AI assistant for kind of process and process things that can be automated on the worker side, and the rise of chatbots will be in Dynamics 365 for customer service reps to kind of help deal with monotonous, easy to answer customer questions. So those were some of the things that I heard on the floor that people were looking forward to. But yeah, it was a large conference. I think attendance was right around where it was last year, around 25 to 30,000 people. I had left before the end of the week celebration where they rented out Universal Studios and Hollywood Studios for just for attendees. So some adults got to act like kids.
Your registration fees at work.
Exactly.
So what sessions did you attend that sort of stuck out that were sort of worth writing about in your coverage that's coming on searchcrm.com?
Sure, yeah. There was a couple of Dynamics 365 sessions I attended that were very useful. One had several, it was a panel discussion, had a couple members from municipalities. One of them worked for the city of New York, the other one worked for New Jersey, and they talked about how kind of adopting Dynamics 365 and kind of the capabilities it has to reach your constituents or your customers, in this case your taxpayers. I remember the gentleman who worked for, I forget his name, but he worked for the city of New York. He had a funny comment about how he has some tough customers sometimes, New Yorkers, which if you're dealing with kind of communication issues in New York City, That's a tough one to deal with on a daily basis. But he talked about how digital transformation in a municipality like that isn't a one-time thing or even a two-times thing that you do in IT. It's constantly evolving, and I thought that was an interesting approach. I think a lot of businesses see digital transformation as something we're going to do this year over the next 3 years, and then we'll be done. But something like that, with how with the rate of technology products that are coming out, your digital transformation is really ongoing.
Right. It's very interesting you use that phrase, and not just you, but everybody we seem to talk to out there in the vendor sphere, digital transformation. And then at Search Content Management, it's cousin digital experience. I wonder at what point we drop the digital, because it is your experience on your phone. It's your experience on the web. It's the transformation from one kind of workflow to another. It's like, why is the digital so prominent? Because it's gone, right? I mean, it's not a differentiator anymore.
It does seem a bit redundant now that everyone seems to be communicating through some sort of like a digital platform. I mean, the only way that you're not is, a telephone call, but even that, might be done over a Skype for Business or through
VoIP or whatever.
GoToMeeting, some sort of kind of third party where you're still utilizing that that technology. But that's a good point. I mean, any sort of business that is still approaching the digital aspect is, at this point, decades behind.
Right. It feels like 2008. Every time I hear that word, digital experience, digital transformation, digital this, that, like what? What? It's like that's what they called CDs when they came out in 1984, and people put their record collections away for a while.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, all right. Well, so every CRM vendor and, of course, the mother companies that integrate these large enterprise IT platforms that the CRM is sort of an extension of is coming out with some sort of AI implementation. Artificial intelligence is going to automate all these tasks that we spend doing manually. It's going to help us divine new insights, like me looking for water in my backyard with a divining rod and all that stuff. But where was AI? Was that a major character or a minor character at the Microsoft Ignite conference in Orlando last week?
It was funny. It was mentioned. It was there, but it wasn't as prominent as last year's conference was, definitely. And really, I noticed AI as kind of the key buzzword for everything last year. And this year, it's definitely still mentioned in product releases and product launches, but it's getting to that point now where it's almost a given that your next upgrade should have some sort of AI functionality or some sort of machine learning to help your users either automate a process, get better insights, you know, a sales lead scoring. Those things are almost expected now in the latest releases, and I think Microsoft kind of went down that path of saying that this is just going to be in the next Dynamics 365 release, and that's that. They didn't have a big display like they did last year where they showed how if they put all their AI computing power together, they can translate or transcribe every Wikipedia page and 0.2 seconds or whatever it was that they displayed. This year, they were definitely a little more, a little quieter on the movement of AI, just knowing that it's going to be in the products now because that's what its users expect. So it was there, but it was much quieter, I could say.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking with an Oracle CRM technology evangelist last Friday, and I was asking him, what is the deal with AI? What is the payoff, and why is it important to put in your products? Because, frankly, a lot of the marketing and sales folks that I interview, customers of vendors and people I run into at conferences, don't necessarily understand, you know, AI, what it is, how it works, people programming algorithms, you know. Why is it such an important sales tool, and why must every CRM system have it now, other than keeping up with the Joneses? Because, you know, it's very difficult to sort of wrap your head around what AI is, how it works, and let alone how it will help your business
processes. Your own use cases.
Yeah, but what he said, and it made a lot of sense, and it sort of echoes what you just pointed out, it's able to tap very, very large data sets, like even beyond what your customer sales base is, and sort of deliver insights that you couldn't Google yourself. Or if you could Google yourself, it might
take a long time,
all day, and it would definitely not be worth it. It would not enhance your sales, you know, that much. And in the end, his theory is salespeople, marketing people using these CRM systems don't really care what the technology is behind it. Like, we didn't really know or care what cloud was. It's just this thing at some data center. But we know that we can look up things from our phone that we had to be logged into our PC before to see. And it's sort of like we understand the features and the convenience. And it was his theory that in the end, the what it does will be obvious to everybody very soon.
And I think the obvious plays are the efficiency play and the automation play that it provides, especially for someone, like you said, a sales or marketing rep that is looking at just lead after lead after lead, to be able to decide, okay, these ones I should look at first because they're, according to the AI technology baked into it, they're the ones that are most prime to buy right now. Something like that to just sort of help you organize your day is useful. And like you said, you don't really care how the technology gets you there, as long as it gets you there. And I think that's where Microsoft is with AI right now, is they see it as an expectation, not an innovation. And I think they're treating it the same way.
Right. Well, I would be remiss if I did not bring up former First Lady Michelle Obama. She had a keynote at the Envision side of the proceedings. How was that? What was it like?
She did. It was fascinating. It was. I think it's safe to say that in Orlando, the day that she spoke, the longest line out of anywhere in Orlando, including Disney World, including Universal, was to get into the keynote to see Michelle Obama speak live. I got down there about an hour before, turned the corner, and saw just a labyrinth of people lined up around every hallway in the I think it was the Hyatt or the Hilton, one of those two. And I'm like, well, all right, well, I guess I'm probably not getting in here. But then, of course, in the corner, I see the little press entrance, and one of the few perks that you have is you get to get seated where the press is, and it's a little bit of a smaller seating location. So there's about 20 or 30 of us waiting in line there. We got in, and the place filled up. I mean, there's probably a couple thousand in the conference center listening to her. She came out. I mean, she, you know, there's no secret how great of a public speaker she is. And she actually got a good rise out of us about when she first kind of came on the scene, a little bit before being First Lady, and then her responsibilities in the White House. And everyone always commented on how well she was able to speak in public and how fluent she was. And she always thought that was funny because she's like, up to that point, I had gone to Princeton, I'd gone to Harvard Law, I'd worked at a law firm, I'd worked at nonprofits. I know how to speak. It was kind of one of those things like, you know, don't underestimate me just because I'm not the president, my husband is. And I think a lot of people who respect that family and understand that family knows the education and the intelligence that she brings to that dynamic. And she couldn't. It was a delight to hear her speak, watch her speak, watch her captivate a room that is quite honestly, a lot of those people are probably used to high profile speakers, used to seeing them, but she had everyone you know, on pins and needles, and she was funny, she was outgoing, and it was a fun thing to see.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Jesse. This has been super informative. I'm kind of jealous that I didn't get to go to this one. It sounds like it was awesome.
It was, but I believe you also got to see First Lady Obama speak as well. So we can touch on that on our next episode of the Pipeline podcast.
Thanks again. Have a good week.
You too.